My friends from the Justin Aguirre podcast, we got another one today, Tuesday, October 10th, reporting to you from Cartagena, Colombia. We still out here. It's been 22 days now, 22 days here. I'm leaving on Thursday, gonna head back to Miami. I am just done. I'm ready to leave here. You know, there's like too much of a good thing. You're just like in one city, and you're just like, yeah, I've seen enough. I've seen enough of the beach. I've seen enough of the tourists out here, and just seen so much of the hype. And it's time to leave. Gonna be in Miami for a little bit, and then I think I'll do one more trip to end this year. And I'll let the suspense build. But yeah, we're going to leave again after about 12 days. Unless I change my mind. And that happens sometimes. Just don't go. Well, I wanted to make a podcast today because there's so much happening in the world right now. And my heart is breaking when I listen to Twitter. Isn't that crazy? Some application on my phone hosts spaces where you can receive the news in real time, and it's a lot different from the news you receive on the television or on various apps. Lately, I've been getting my news through Twitter, but not in the way of lines like when someone types something, but actual reputable people. Like, say Tom works for, I don't know, Fox or CNN, and then he has his own Twitter account, and then he's like, I think I'm going to talk, but I'm not on my job. Does that make sense? So he's independent, or she's independent, and so the news and the conversations that come are just way more interesting. So I've been listening on Twitter Spaces for all of my Twitter friends out there. That's the only app I'm not active at all. I just simply use it to consume information. But I have been listening to the whole Israel-Palestine, let's just call it a war. It's really, you know, even though it hasn't been officially declared, just everything that's going down there and everything that's happening. And of course, because of technology, we're able to see so many pictures and videos of everything happening, some gruesome and bloody and just massive amounts of horror. I saw a man carrying his dead daughter making a video that I got on my phone. How crazy is that, guys? These are the beauties and the tragedies of technology. We can be so connected and feel so close, and that we can be so connected and feel so outraged, right? I wanted to make this podcast because I feel like I should, because I like talking about personal development and health and consciousness and spirituality, but a lot of times you can get so buried in that that you forget that there is an actual world that's happening. And so much about consciousness and spirituality, it doesn't really apply as near when someone is dying. They don't want to talk philosophy, you know? There's the matters of the mind and heart in relation to consciousness and what's happening, and great conversations that we can have, and poetic rhymes and things of this nature. But then there's like, hey, I'm starving. Hey, I've been bombed. Hey, I'm dying. Hey, and it's not that spirituality and consciousness doesn't have anything to do with that, because it really does have something to do with that. But we can hide in those things as citizens, and we cannot be present to other things in the world. And it's not to say one is more important, but it is to say that one is more near. And right now, I want to talk about that because it's way more near. One theologian that I like, he always said, you need to read the Bible in your right hand, but the newspaper in your left hand. And I love that because you can get lost in either or. And good, healthy spirituality is being able to balance both. So yeah, I have no connection to Israel or Palestine. I'm simply an American that has never even been to those countries. Certainly have friends from there, but I personally have no connection to it. So I'm just observing it as a first world American citizen that loves people. When I was about 27 years old, I read a book by a guy named Howard Thurman, who was the mentor to MLK. And he had a lot of phrases in that book that have stayed with me. And the book was titled Jesus and the Disinherited. And the book was about nonviolence. Many religious teachers, Jesus and Gandhi and Buddha, Muhammad, all of the greats constantly, whenever violence was spoken of, they erred on the side of peace and nonviolence. But in this book, one phrase that was particularly peculiar to me was when he said, and he's quoting someone else, the myth of redemptive violence. I remember him saying that, and I remember reading that, and that line has always stuck with me because he calls it the myth of redemptive violence. So redemptive violence meaning you hurt me, I hurt you back, you punch me, I punch you back, you bomb me, I bomb you back, you do this to me, and I give it to you with the same temperature. And most of the time, just a little bit worse. And he calls it the myth of redemptive violence, because the myth is that in hurting you because you've hurt me, we balance out the scales, and you, like the kids at the playground say, can know what it feels like. Ah, man. It's hard to put language to this, because when you're in it, it makes complete sense. If you get hurt, they need to feel it too. But the myth, and the reason it's called myth, is because after you've satisfied your ego, after you've given ice to your pride and let it cooled off, and you actually gave someone back what you thought they deserved, you realize that it did not solve the actual issue, and that now it's their turn to strike at you again, should they be willing. And if they're not willing, certainly they'll come again at a later time. And it's called myth because we continually believe the lie that if you hurt me and I hurt you, somehow two wrongs will make things right. You know, it's a lot easier to talk about here, and it's a lot different if it was my family that was being hurt and I was like, nah, don't do anything. Nah, don't fight back. You know, like if it was my mom, my sister, my dad, even my dog. Some of you love your dog more than your family, to be honest. When it's someone that you love, your spouse, and you know that they've been hurt, it's almost this human, carnal desire to retaliate and redeem their suffering and justify through an act of violence what has been done to them. It's tricky because this word justice always comes up and out of our mouth, and even in our court systems and everything, where justice must be served, right? I must make things right here. And so the inkling inside the man is for justice to be served, something must be executed. Something must be done. There must be a penalty and a price to be paid for what you've done. This gets rather complex on the global scale, guys, when we're not talking about two people that we could bring to court, but we talk about two countries with its citizens. And I don't want to go too much into what's happening with Israel and Palestine because I am not well versed in that. I do not know enough about the history, but I have read and heard arguments from both sides. And I know that people don't just randomly go into a country to hurt people for nothing. There must be some sort of reason. Whether the reason is false or not, there is a reason. We don't just wake up and decide to do things for sheer nothingness. They are for a reason. Unless someone is inherently demonic, but that's not the situation here, in my opinion. There's a reason why people are being injured. There's a reason why people are being hurt. There's a reason why people are dying. There's a reason why there's bloodshed. And there's a reason why there's a fight. And it goes way more back than a few years. We're talking about centuries. And on top of that, you boil in religion and you boil in the justification because of a God. And you boil in so much of prophecy and you boil in all sorts of stigma. And you boil in starvation and poverty and not having anything and larger world issues, and you just bake it all in. And it's very easy to come to the conclusion of why things are the way they are and why they're so tangled up and why you really don't even know what the answer is. And that's my answer to you. I can't tell you the resolution. I can't tell you the solution. And I especially can't tell you that if you're there right now or if you're very connected to it. Because I'm speaking as only someone that's very disconnected from the whole situation. But the only thing that I can tell you is that in our spheres, in our circles, in our lives, in our realities, in our communities, in our people, we must be agents of peace. We must be people that bring peace, or the same thing will happen to you. And I'm not talking about your country at war. I'm talking about a place in life where you feel like you need to give someone back the wrong that they've done to you. That will happen in your life. You can get caught up in these entanglements and these myths of redemptive violence. What you can be in the world is an agent of peace. What you can be in the world is someone that, when I look at you, peace springs from you. And in a world where things might be dark and messy right now, you can be someone who embodies the peace, or you can be someone who wants to pick sides and defend a country and feel like you need to be the one that says what's going on here because you have the truth. And you can take that route, or you can embody peace now. What we need is more peace. What we need is more people who embody the truth and the teaching of peace. You're not going to solve it, guys. And it might have to get way worse before it gets better. There might have to be massive destruction and large amounts of people to get bloody and die for there to be any sort of resolution. You know, when you're with Tommy on the playground and you guys just keep punching each other until you get tired, but it's already a broken nose and a broken hand and detention that's served, but you guys are just laying there on the floor and you're all bloodied out and it's over, but you fucked up everything. That might need to be what happens, and thousands of people need to die for this to finally stop, this 100-year entanglement. I don't know. Maybe it does come in and someone does save the day and there is some sort of peace. Or guys, you're not going to solve it. You're not going to solve the war, guys. You can either be somebody who's here just talking about it, trying to pick sides and try to throw out some weird ass truth to make people convicted of, or you can literally now be somebody who embodies peace. Because what's happening over there is a human problem. And you are a human. Does that make sense? What's happening over there, you could have easily been born into that. There's no reason why you were born in America or wherever country you're in. You didn't choose it. You can equally be there. And so that problem is a problem for you too. Because you have no say in thinking that you're outside of that. That type of vengeance and that type of problem and issue can happen to you in an instant for doing some bullshit wrong when it comes home to you. And it's not going to look like a world war or countries, but it might be that somebody hurts someone that you love. And there it is, the same exact thing. And you're going to be faced with an opportunity to retaliate and fall into the myth of redemptive violence, or you choose and you err on the side of peace. Think about that. What would you do? What would you do? Now, it gets blurry, right? Like if I saw my mom getting stabbed, I'm not going to like pray. You know what I'm saying? If I see my sister getting beat up, I'm not going to try to tap the guy on the shoulder. Right? This is stupid. Violence sometimes needs to be acted so that violence stops. That's a totally different situation than you wronged me and you are hitting her, so now I need to get on top of you and beat you so that you can see what it feels like. There's a difference, guys. You can stop a perpetrator, or you can give a perpetrator back what he was doing. Do you see how the ego wants to say, I'll fucking kill him if he touches her? Do you see how the ego? And then the difference would be, no, I am using my physical force and whatever violence necessary through weaponry or whatever for a few moments to get this person off of the person I love, and it ends there. Do you see the difference? There's a difference with redemptive violence and using violence to bring peace, and not necessarily peace with them, but peace to the person that's the victim. There will come a time where you're tested. There will come a time where violence, or maybe it's not even physical violence. In America, in the 21st century, in our beautiful land of the free, a lot of times it's words. A lot of times it's words that are spoken to you. Gossip, slander, attacks. And that's our form of violence, because we don't have grenades out here online or in person. It's usually people talking shit. And then you feel like you got to give them back what they gave you. Or you got to play it out in some other way so that they feel what you felt. Do you see how this problem is a problem for all of us? Just because you're not throwing bombs and have AKs doesn't mean that to a lesser degree you're not doing it to somebody else. And so I come back to the central message, guys. What we need is more agents of peace in our world. And the only way, and I'll end here before this turns into a long-ass TED Talk sermon. The only way that we can give true peace to flow like streams of water from our lives The only way we can give that in is if we've achieved it inside of our own heart. Does that make sense? The only way you can be an agent of peace, a promoter of peace, someone who's a living display of peace in the world, is if peace truly reigns in your body, in your mind, in your heart. If love is the first inclination, if peace is the first inclination, if unity is the first inclination. Yeah. That's what I think, my friends. This was an episode from JA, from my heart, man, to yours, in view of what's happening in Israel and Palestine. May you be somebody who promotes the peace that our whole world needs. May you not be a part of taking a side or thinking that you have some sort of rhetoric. You don't have it, guys. But what you do have is peace in your heart. And if you don't, it's your job to get it. It's your job to achieve it. And then it's your job to give it away. All right, friends. That was an episode. I love you guys. This is a long one. You can see why. Until next time.